third and final matter on this morning's oral calendar is State versus Glover. As counsel and our visitors are getting situated, I'll just welcome you all to the Minnesota Court of Appeals. My name is John Rodenberg. I'm presiding today. With me are Judges Smith and Klaphockey. Both of counsel here are familiar with the rules, but just in brief, each of you will have 15 minutes for your principal argument. Appellant will have 5 minutes for rebuttal if the appellant wishes to use that time. When you approach the podium, give us your name and the party you represent so that we've got that for the recording. Feel free to adjust the height of the podium to suit your comfort. Mr. Schmidt, whenever you're ready.
Good morning. May it please the court, counsel, John Schmidt, Assistant Hennepin County Attorney on behalf of the state of Minnesota. This court should reverse because under Minnesota Supreme Court precedent, a flare gun constitutes a firearm. The Supreme Court defined firearm in Haywood as a device that expels a projectile by the action of force of explosion or combustion. The evidence that was presented to the district court here meets that Haywood definition.
Seems like Haywood, I'm going to jump right into the question right away, because it seems like Haywood informed us of what's not a firearm. That is to say that something that expels a projectile, not using combustion and not using a firing pin and not using gunpowder, isn't a firearm. But then on page 490, Justice Hudson writes, in sum, dictionaries consistently define firearm as including only weapons that use explosive force, suggesting that not everything that uses explosive force is a firearm because it's not a weapon.
That is what the opinion says, but it also, I think it the opinion goes further than saying what's just not a firearm, because it does say both, also on 490, the opinion says both statutes define a firearm as a device that expels a projectile by the action or force of an explosion or combustion.
It seems like there are things that expel a projectile by explosion or combustion that might fall short of being a firearm, such as a nail gun that uses a 22 blank to expel a nail into cement when you strike it with a hammer. Is that a firearm?
Well, I don't know. I'm not sure how the exact functions of a nail gun work. I know in the Colette case from this court, which the district court relied upon, which we contend was an error, was about a paintball gun, and it talks about a nail gun within that fashion too, where it was by use of air, that there was
right.
air propelling it
forward. A paintball gun is more like a BB gun.
Correct.
Right. That falls within the Haywood definition of what's not a firearm because of the lack of combustion.
Well, and again, Your Honor, I would disagree that Haywood is not so limited to defining what is not a firearm, because it's very clear that it talks about a firearm is as defined in Haywood.
Which is why I ask about the nail gun. It uses a 22 blank, and it uses combustion, and when you strike the end with a hammer, it not only sends something flying out, it sends it out flying hard enough that it go into cement.
Sure.
Is that a firearm?
If and I don't know the mechanics of a nail gun. If everything you say is true, it's using combustion, then yes, it could be classified as a firearm.
Is it a firearm as a matter of law?
Of Haywood. Under Haywood's definition, yes. Now, if the statute here under which the
every felon who decides to be in the construction industry, that ought to be careful.
Perhaps the felon should, yes.
Doesn't make sense, does it?
What's that?
Doesn't make much sense, does it?
If the felon is in possession of something that is using combustion to propel a proponent, then that could be a firearm. Now, the statute here does not use the word weapon. The statute uses the word firearm. There's nothing in this statute that says weapon. If we are going to add the word weapon into this analysis, as the district court did, then it's a question, I think, of fact for the jury to decide whether at this moment in time, when he has a flare gun in his pocket that is loaded while he's robbing a coal store, was that being used as a weapon in that moment in time? I don't think Haywood supports the idea, and the statute certainly doesn't support the idea of adding the word weapon into the statutory language, because when you add that word, it gets into an entirely different analysis, which we went through in the brief to talk about if you do add the word weapon and that district court's analysis of extending Haywood beyond the words of the opinion exists and that matters, then we do still meet the definition of weapon in this case. And the best example of that is the Supreme Court's decision in Moss, which was a 1978 decision where, while a person was in the commission of a crime, of a burglary, very similar to what we have here, the person had a scissors in his pocket. And a jury found that that was a weapon. Now, like here, the person didn't brandish the scissors, didn't point at anybody, didn't threaten anybody, but he had it in his pocket, and it was available for his use at that time, well, in the commission of that crime. So if the word weapon is added into this analysis and determining what a firearm is, then we still meet that definition under these facts, or at a minimum, a jury should make
that
determination.
You're arguing the point right now, it would be a question. The jury would be told what a weapon is, and they would decide.
A jury would be told, yes, you'd have to define firearm, that it's combustion, and you'd have to define weapon, and then the jury would have to make the ultimate decision of, I think as a matter of law, a firearm meets the statutory definition.
Similar to like burglary tools.
Sure.
I mean, they're told what burglary tools are, and sometimes a screwdriver is a burglary tool, depending on the circumstances.
Right. Yeah. I mean, they had a pair of pliers in his pocket, and a pair of pliers in other situations is not going to be defined as a burglary tool. But when you go into Kohl's and cut the lock and take a bunch of electronics out of there, that has become a burglary tool.
Is there any other statute other than 624.713 that precludes a felon from having a flare gun in his or her possession?
Well, it would be any of the other statutes that also use the word firearm.
Okay, but is there any statute that defines a flare gun as being a prohibited item that doesn't use firearm?
That does not use the word firearm, no.
So that's what I guess my question is there any other way that the state could charge Mr. Glover with a crime for possessing this flare gun?
Not that I am aware of, for possessing a loaded flare gun in his pocket while robbing a Kohl's store. Now, and this would distinguish it, if you do add the word weapon into this analysis, this would distinguish it from the scenario of, let's say, he has a flare gun in his trunk while he's camping. And the flare gun, they're out in the woods, and then, well, then it's being used for its intended purpose, right? That it is an emergency device that's being used in case something arises while they're camping in the woods and they need assistance. So that, if you do add the word weapon into that analysis, that does create a distinction between that you're not overcharging felons. And personally, I don't think that scenario should be charged, or at least from our office, would be charged.
So people in the construction industry, to use Judge Klapacki's question, people in the construction industry using a nail gun for its intended purpose would not be charged.
That's correct.
Would not be guilty.
Right. Under if the word weapon is added into the analysis, then yes, a person who's in the construction industry who's using a nail gun that uses combustion during their work would not be something that could be charged.
Well, but this case doesn't involve using. This involves just possession, about a nail gun that's in possession on the way to the job site, the construction worker.
Well, sure, on the way to the job site, that would be another situation where it's not something that is being used or intended to be used as a weapon in that scenario. Again, if we're adding the word weapon into this analysis. If it's a person who's...
Oh, but why is this being intended to be used as a weapon?
In this case here? Well, he had a loaded flare gun in his pocket, which the warning label says, do not carry a loaded flare gun.
The idea that it's loaded makes this difference in it's just carrying a flare gun. Is that what you're saying?
And while he's burglarizing a Kohl's store, that's what makes a difference, is that it's not that he's walking down the street with an unloaded flare gun in case an emergency arises and he needs to use the signal.
He had been charged before he started this burglary if he was carrying a loaded flare gun?
That's a closer question, potentially. Potentially it could be. If he was fleeing the scene and he's got the loaded flare gun in his car, then yeah, he could be charged with using a flare gun because the intended purpose there is a weapon. And that's where it gets to. Could he be charged with carrying a loaded flare gun while he was driving to Kohl's? That, again, would present a question for the jury. If he is charged with that and weapon is added into the analysis, then that is a jury question that, all right, well, what was the intended use of that weapon?
And if weapon weren't in the analysis, then for sure he'd be charged, right?
Correct.
For possessing it. I have a question about the idea that the request is to add weapon in the word into the analysis. Why can't Haywood be read as follows? Haywood said that the plain language, we can decide this case, the Supreme Court decided on the plain language, and it cited from various dictionaries that all said a weapon that expels a projectile by the combustion of gunpowder, et cetera. And so it was focused on the combustion element. It didn't say we're adding the words combustion into the statute. It said the plain meaning of this is that you need that combustion. But there are two elements to the definition, a weapon, in all of the definitions it cited, a weapon that uses combustion. And if combustion isn't adding it in, why is weapon adding it in? And didn't Haywood just decide that combustion is a necessary but not necessarily sufficient basis to decide something is in fact a firearm?
Well, I guess we could say Haywood does leave the question of weapon open. I think that could be accurate. But I think also on page 490, the court then says, both the statutes that are defining firearms says a device that expels a projectile. So there isn't a weapon there. It's a device.
Right. There's a word choice there.
Yep.
But is that word choice actually, I mean, sometimes word choices, unfortunately, are a little not, they don't necessarily represent the holding of the case. And Haywood, to me, arguably could be held just to say, we're only focusing on a part of the definition that deals with combustion, but we're not saying anything about the part of the definition that relates to weapon.
Which then leaves open that question, mm-hmm. which would then be before this court, of whether weapon should be added into right. The analysis.
Well, it's that word added to. I don't think the Supreme Court thought that they were adding anything to it. I think they said we're just interpreting the plain language. So if combustion isn't an addition, I'm not sure weapon would be an addition when both elements are part of the plain language definitions that the Supreme Court was looking at.
Sure. As described by the dictionaries, they do say weapon in each of the dictionary definitions. But even if that...
Other things identified in Subdivision 1 are pistol, semi-automatic military-style assault weapon, or any other firearm. So it looks like all of the things that the legislature was talking about were weapons.
In the statutory definitions
Correct.
Of those? Yeah, sure. But then it's just whether the firearm itself needs to be a weapon or it can be a device that meets the mechanics that the Supreme Court laid out in Haywood. Now, instead of using the word added, I'll change my word choice. If weapon is used in that analysis, we still meet that definition in this case.
Based on the facts of the case.
Based on the facts of this particular case.
Well, right. Actually, if we don't add or supplement or define it to include weapon, then you could charge the guy on his way to the job site with the nail gun that uses a 22 blank propulsion, right?
That could be charged.
Right.
I don't know that it should be charged, but it could be charged.
Right.
But if weapon is used in the analysis under the facts of this case, it certainly meets that given what happened here. And I think the district court erred in really focusing on the design of the flare gun. Because that reads out, and as the decisions that discuss weapon and dangerous weapon that we also walked through in our brief discuss, it's not just designed.
It's how it's used.
It's how it's used. That's correct. And so in this situation, how it was used under these facts would constitute a weapon, or at a minimum, like in Moss, whether the scissors in that person's pocket constitutes a weapon is a question for the jury. And Moss was decided by a jury, and it was affirmed as sufficient evidence because how the scissors were used, scissors aren't designed to be weapons, but how they were used in that situation was, could have been used at that time for a weapon. I'm almost out of time, and I'll save the rest for rebuttal unless you have other questions.
Other questions? It appears we have none. You will have
Thank
5
you.
Minutes, as we discussed. Respondent, whenever you're ready.
Good morning. May it please the court. My name is Paul Maravilli. I represent the respondent in this case, Mr. Andrew Glover, whose case was dismissed by a district court judge who correctly interpreted and applied the Haywood decision and related case law in dismissing this charge. Though counsel seems at the tail end of his argument to have withdrawn the notion that weapon was added to the definition of firearm by the district court, most of his argument made that claim.
And I don't think it was withdrawn. I think it's just dealing with the argument generally.
I wanted to follow up on comments I've heard from the court that the way Haywood interpreted what a firearm is was it also included distinguishing it from the dangerous weapon statutory definition, which I'll leave till later. But they cited 4 different dictionary sources, including Black's Law Dictionary, every one of which defined a firearm as a weapon that fires a projectile by explosive force. So if the argument is being made here that the word weapon is being impermissibly added to the definition of firearm, well, counsel is apparently faulting our Minnesota Supreme Court for doing just that. The reason they had to look at the issue of projectiles fired by explosive force was because that's a distinction for a BB gun. But a firearm is a weapon. And
right, the problem, it seems to me, the difference between the way the Supreme Court dealt with it before Haywood and after is that Haywood supplied meaning to the portion of the word firearm relating to fire as opposed to air.
This court has already also pointed out the fact that there are numerous other objects which fire an object or a propellant by means of explosive force, which are most decidedly not firearms. And
bottle rockets, nail guns, you name
fireworks.
It. Fireworks.
Fireworks are a canister which contain an incandescent object fired by means of explosive force.
Sometimes out of a cylinder.
Yes, but those are devices constructed to fire an incandescent object. The district court included that example from the Couette case as a way of showing that just because a device is designed to expel a projectile by means of explosive force does not make it a firearm. There are other objects. I mean, just a simple internet search. There are grappling hook launchers used by first responders.
That one I'm not familiar with.
That fire grappling hooks so you can climb up the side of a cliff or a building or even a tree that use explosive forces to launch the grappling
hook. Get the hooks high enough.
Yes. And just as someone who carried a firearm for 3.5 years in a former job of mine, I take exception to such a watered-down definition of a firearm. We didn't even call them firearms. My sidearm was referred to as a weapon. When I turned it in at the end of my shift, I was told to make my weapon safe. A firearm is a weapon. It is designed to fire an explosive bullet or pellet, as these dictionary terms that the Haywood Court relied on also repeatedly say. There is an element of lethality that cannot be divorced from the concept of firearm. So this will spare the construction worker on his way to the site with an explosive force nail gun, or the crews that with dedication prepare the massive fireworks displays launched at every Aquatennial from being arrested for possessing an explosive force canister on their way to their jobs.
So a weapon, let's talk about if in fact it being a weapon is required. Do you agree that that a device that's not designed to be a weapon, but that in a manner used or intended to be used, that can be a weapon?
Respectfully, not for firearm, Your Honor, because that language you're talking about, the manner it can be used, is in the dangerous weapon definition, which can include lots of things, not just guns, but knives, baseball bats, anything that is either designed as or as wielded.
As wielded include a broken beer bottle.
Yes. The thing about a firearm that makes it distinct and why the Supreme Court, I think, adopted such a narrow definition of it as both a weapon and something that uses explosive force to fire a projectile is because of the element of inherent lethality.
So where do we get, you're saying that we should consider, the Supreme Court dealt with in Haywood the combustion element of it, and you're saying also said weapon, and we should also, it also requires that it be a weapon. What is the definition of weapon and the source of definition of weapon that should be used with respect to a firearm in your view?
Well, first, it's not me saying it. Respectfully, mm-hmm. Your Honor, the Supreme Court repeatedly said it in the Haywood decision.
But they didn't define weapon.
They didn't define
okay,
weapon.
Okay, so I'm asking you about the definition of weapon then. Where do we look for the definition of weapon?
Probably the same sources that the Supreme Court used for the definition of firearm. There is something that I could say right now that weapon and firearm are synonyms. I mean, a firearm is a weapon, but, you know, a weapon is not always a firearm. But a firearm is inherently a weapon. It is designed for the sole purpose of attacking something with lethality, with lethal force.
Saying if it's a firearm, we know a firearm requires combustion. If it's a firearm, then it's a weapon. But if a weapon is a part of a definition of something as a firearm, aren't we in a circle there? How do we, if the definition of a firearm is a weapon that uses combustive force, I'm not sure how I know what a weapon is then. You're saying it's only something designed to be used as a weapon, and you can't consider that, in fact, it was being used as a weapon. So, for example, if this actual thing was shot in someone's eye and caused great harm, it wouldn't have been a weapon, even though it was, in fact, used in that manner. Is that right?
Well, no.
Okay, so if a flare gun were used as a weapon, it could be a firearm or no?
We don't need to get into this circular loop of reasoning and analogy here because of the rest of the Haywood interpretation model, that they sought the plain, ordinary meaning of the term. And the fact is that potential lethality is not included in the Haywood Court's definition of a firearm, nor is the manner in which it was wielded. It's simply a weapon that fires a projectile by explosive force and referring to bullets or pellets multiple times.
And so if a flare gun were used, shot in someone's face and harmed them,
then the legislature
why
would
is that not? It's, you're telling me that's not a weapon.
No,
is that
Your
right?
Honor, because the legislature would have need to say, while possessing a dangerous weapon, which would more than adequately cover the scenario you describe, but the legislature instead specifically said firearm, which is a gun. And that's what we get from Haywood. The state's own expert at the hearing said he called the manufacturer, and they said the signal launcher had two purposes. To send a signal in an emergency situation that others will see to facilitate rescue, or it's occasionally used by firefighters fighting fires out in the wilderness to start a controlled burn somewhere.
It seems like neither of those things were going on here. There was no emergency at the Kohl's store near the electronics department, and there was no forest fire that he was trying to counter burn. He was clearly had something in mind that was beyond the scope of the designed use of the flare gun.
Well, probable cause decisions being based on statutory and case law language don't need to delve into the intent behind what was possessed. The sole question at issue is what was possessed. Was it a firearm? And I'm sorry, but the intention for having it, the manner in which it was wielded, which, by the way, it wasn't here, do not factor into the definition of firearm, and that is what Haywood says. If you want something dealing with how a dangerous object might be used, might be lethal, you use the language dangerous weapon. That's the distinction at work here. The intent of the legislature is very clear. They don't want people doing certain criminal acts, robberies, burglaries, whatever, while they have a gun. And that's what I think the other message of Haywood is. We need to get to the basic meaning of firearm here. And every definition they cited described a gun.
Well, it described a weapon. A weapon. That's what we're talking about here. So, and you're saying a weapon has to be a gun, then?
A firearm is a gun. That's the plain meaning to take from the statute and the reasoning applied by the Haywood court.
A gun means something that is designed and intended to shoot at living things or a target or something? Or I mean, what does a gun mean?
Fires bullets or pellets by explosive force.
Okay, so what it fires.
Yes. But a firearm is designedly lethal. It is meant to kill. That's what it is used for.
Was lethal used in Haywood? Was the word lethal used in Haywood?
Not that I saw, no. But it's a gun, and that's how these cases are consistently charged out, when somebody has a gun while they're robbing a store. If I'm adding my own common sense definition here, I'm simply following the path laid before me by the Haywood court. They're talking about guns, a weapon with an explosive force that fires bullets or pellets. It does not include a signal launcher, which no one has any idea how, you know, or if it would cause death. And that's not a question that needs to be asked, because that's not what it was designed for. That's not what it does. Otherwise, we really have to start worrying about other objects that could potentially be lethal, like I mentioned at the start of my argument here. Whether it's the confetti poppers, the fireworks canisters, the grappling hook launchers, even self-made bottle rockets. So I'm asking the court not to adopt the expansive definition of firearm sought by counsel here and to uphold the district court's ruling, which was well and thoroughly reasoned and based on the Haywood model. Mm-hmm. Not a departure from it.
Yeah, I sort of see three options. There's either any device, no matter how it's used. I mean, that's, I think, the first argument of the state. If it's combustion, boom, firearm. Then there's the idea of if it's that, but used as it meets the definition of weapon, including use as it. That, so, for example, if the person brought and, in fact, used a signal launcher or whatever it's called. I won't use the word flare gun because that uses the word gun. But and shoot someone with it. That because of its use or even intended use or something in that particular moment was a weapon. Or there's the third option. I think what you're telling us is that no, even if it's combustion, if it's not shooting pellets or bullets, it's just simply not a firearm. So if you had someone, for example, brought the nail gun, thank you. The nail gun in their pocket, in fact, shot someone with a nail gun, even though it uses combustion, that's not going to be a firearm. It has to be a gun that shoots those things.
Well,
is that sort of the range of options we have for that we're talking about here?
That's a fair assessment, but, you know, weapon is the word continually employed, mm-hmm. and I think there's a common understanding of the meaning of that term, a device used to attack something, usually another human. So it clearly is an important distinction, the one between firearm and the broader category of dangerous weapon. I think that's what really drove the district court's order here. And if you remember the testimony of the state's expert, you know, that he called the company and they said that it's a signal launcher or an emergency device. They never use the word flare gun or flare pistol. You know, it's something that's meant to be used for emergency situations to save people's lives, which is sort of an ironic paradox, or I should say, contradiction to the purpose of a weapon. A signal flare is meant to save lives, not injure or take them. The fact that my client had one in his possession is not a factor here when it comes on the term of firearm. He didn't wield it, he didn't use it at all. So I think the district court's order must stand based on her sound reasoning, and thank you very much.
Thank you. The state has 5 minutes if you wish to use that time.
So as to the three options, I'm not conceding and giving up on the first option, but I think the defense is presenting an extreme on the third option, so I'm going to focus on the second, which is if we're looking at Haywood and we're saying that it has to be something that uses combustion or explosive force and is a weapon, then it's a firearm. There's no dispute here that the flare gun meets the combustion element as defined by Haywood. So the question is weapon. Does it meet the weapon? And then you can look to Supreme Court definitions of how they've defined weapon, which is in the Moss decision, which discusses the scissors.
Is it a case law definition?
That is a case law definition from the Minnesota Supreme Court, which says weapon is devices capable of producing great bodily harm or death, which in the manner used or intended to be used are calculated or likely to produce great bodily harm or death.
Okay, so that's a case law definition of dangerous weapons, I think,
case
right?
law definition Not- of dangerous weapon. So if we're looking at what weapon means in that context of how they use it in Haywood, it's not so limited to be just a gun that shoots bullets. It can be something that is capable of producing great bodily harm or death. And there's no question from the expert's testimony, this shoots at 500 feet, so it's a high velocity. It says so right on the label. It burns at 1,800 to 2,000 degrees. If you get shot with a flare that's coming out of a flare gun, it's going to produce great bodily harm or death. Even to the example of the nail gun that we've been talking about today, the movie came to mind of No Country for Old Men, where the person carried around a nail gun and used it and shot people right between the eyes and killed people. A nail gun in the right context, when it's used, could be calculated to produce great bodily harm or death. So it meets that, at least case law definition, of what weapon is. So when you put those two together and you say combustion is met, weapon is met, at a minimum, this is a question for a jury to figure out whether the loaded flare gun in his pocket while he's robbing a Kohl's store constituted a firearm.
Based upon its use?
Based upon its use at the time that he had it in his pocket.
He actually didn't use it at all, right?
That's he true. Had it in his pocket, correct. And like in Moss.
The extent of the use, having it in his pocket.
Well, he was robbing a Kohl's store. Yes. I think the
Intended to be used is talked about in Moss.
It is intended to be used, and that's where you get into the jury question. Did he intend that loaded flare gun to be used if necessary? And that's where the Moss decision comes into play, because this is a scissors. A scissors is not designed to be a weapon, but during a similar crime, the person had it in their pocket, and as the Supreme Court said, this is something that, although the defendant did not use the scissors during the robbery, he had them on his person and intended to use them if their use became necessary. That's exactly what we have here, and that was a jury verdict, and that was affirming that that was a dangerous weapon that was used in the commission of
the
robbery.
So it's either the use or how it was intended to be used, is that
correct?
What you're
the use or intended to be used. And if it was used or intended to be used, calculated or likely to produce great bodily harm or death, that meets the definition of a weapon. Now, the intended to be used may be the question that goes to the jury, but this shouldn't have been dismissed from the complaint after you have met the combustion element of Haywood. And that during the robbery, I think at a minimum, the court took a leap in saying, because he didn't brandish the flare gun during the commission of the crime, that it wasn't intended to be used as a weapon. Because Moss is right on point with that, with the scissors.
The other evidence of intent might be the fact that it was loaded.
That is pretty good evidence of intent, especially when there's a warning label on the flare gun that says, don't carry it while it's loaded. And certainly, you don't want to carry a loaded flare gun in your pocket in case it accidentally goes off. that would clearly create great bodily harm. We ask that this court reverse, unless you have any other questions.
It appears we have none. We thank counsel for your briefing and argument. The matter is submitted, and we'll issue our decision within 90 days.